to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19. 2 Kings, chapter 19. We'll read the first five verses. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they, the ones mentioned there in verse 2, said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the kings of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. What we read here takes place in a time of great crisis for the southern kingdom of Judah. And in verse 1, we see Hezekiah, he's in the house of the Lord. As you read on in the chapter, no doubt he was there seeking God in prayer. And in verse 2, we can gather that the Lord instructed him, led him to send a message to the preacher, Isaiah. And the message that he sent to him is recorded in verses 3 and 4. We see part of the message to Isaiah was a request for him to pray for the people. He said, lift up by prayer for the remnant that are left. In verse 5, the message is delivered to Isaiah by Hezekiah's servant. Part of the message, again, the message is contained in verse 3 and 4 that Hezekiah sent to Isaiah. The part we're concerned with today is verse 3. And in verse 3, he describes the dire straits that Judah found themselves in. He said, it's a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. We want to concern ourselves with the last statement of verse 3. The children are come to the birth. He's describing there the seriousness of the hour. And he describes the condition of the people. There is not strength to bring forth. So the image that is set before us is that of a woman about to deliver child. But there's a problem. Her strength has been exhausted. And it appears that she is unable to do what is required of her to deliver this child. Again, for the children are come to the birth, it's time. And there is not strength to bring forth. The subject this morning is a people strong enough in the hour of need. I want to speak to God's people by way of warning, a way of rebuke, by way of encouragement. I want to consider three main points. First of all, the circumstance of the text, what was going on. Secondly, the image of this expectant mother. And then thirdly, the application to ourselves. But first of all, consider the circumstances of the text. What was going on during this time? Well, what we read here takes place during the reign of Judah's 13th king, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. Just prior to his reign was the reign of his father, Ahaz, who had reigned for 16 years. And we're told in 2 Kings 16 and verse 2 that Ahaz did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. The overall character of the reign of Ahaz, notice in 2 Kings 16 verses 3 and 4. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That is, he walked in the ways of the northern kingdom. He made his son pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and in the hills and under every green tree. In the course of 16 years that Ahaz reigned, there was great spiritual decline in Judah. The people moved further and further from God. And by the end of his reign, they had abandoned the worship of the Lord. And they were more and more in conformity with the ungodly nations around them than they were God. We learned from 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 24 that Ahaz cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And he shut up the doors of the Lord. And he made the altars in every corner and made him altars, that is to Baal, in every corner of Jerusalem. By the end of the reign of Ahaz, Judah was in an advanced stage of sin. And these were the conditions when Hezekiah began to reign. From 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, we see that Hezekiah began his reign in the third year of Hoshea, who was the very last king of the northern kingdom of Israel. From 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 8, we'll not read that for time's sake, we see that Hezekiah, again, remember the conditions when he began to reign. Hezekiah began to lead a reformation in Judah. And though the Reformation was spiritual in nature, the truth is the hearts and the lives of the people, for the most part, were away from God. And they continued to go after Baal. And in the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, after years of their neighbor, the northern kingdom, embracing idolatry and immorality and debauchery, and after years of insensitivity to the messengers and the message of God, God raises up a man by the name of Shalmaneser. He was the king of Assyria. And God emboldened and empowered this man to go against the northern kingdom of Israel. And in 2 Kings 18 and verse 9, he surrounds the northern kingdom. And in verse 10 of chapter 18, we see that the northern kingdom of Israel falls to Assyria. Sennacherib would follow Shalmaneser as the king of Assyria. And in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, which would be about 8 years after the fall of the northern kingdom, Assyria, different king now, Sennacherib, Assyria threatens the southern kingdom of Judah. Sennacherib, in verse 17 of chapter 18, sends three of his chief men, along with a great host, to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, in verse 18, sends out three men to meet this entourage. In the following verses, the representatives of Sennacherib tell these men of Hezekiah in the hearing of other people. And I paraphrase, they say, "You tell Hezekiah that we're going to destroy Judah, just like we did Israel. And you will not be able to get any help from Egypt or any other nation. Their help is vain because we're so powerful. And not even your God can save you from us." In verse 37 of chapter 18, the three men of Hezekiah that he had sent out returned to him with their veils rent, and in a state of great fear told him the message from Sennacherib. So it's a time of great fear. It's a time when dread and horror had gripped the hearts of God's people. And then coming to 2 Kings chapter 19, we read that when Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. There's a message there. Also at this time, verse 2, Hezekiah sent messengers to Isaiah to inform him of the situation. And in verse 3, we are told what they were to tell Isaiah, giving us a picture of what Hezekiah and the people were feeling at this time. And he tells Isaiah, this is a day of trouble. That is, this is a day when there are many problems, there are many difficulties. There's much distress and harassment. This is a day of trouble. And he says, and rebuke. That is, it is a day of reprimands and threats from the enemy. And it is a day of blasphemy, profanity, and irreverence. So the enemy was at the door. Humanly speaking, doom was on the horizon. A crisis was at hand for the nation of Judah. That brings us to the image of this expectant mother. Again, we read for the children. Again, this is a day of trouble. This is a day of rebuke and blasphemy. And adding to that, the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. The purpose of that expression is to stress the condition of God's people at this particular time of crisis. It is a proverbial expression. painting a picture of a people that was void of the strength to do what was required. This expectant mother should have been prepared for this hour to deliver her child. Yet, there is not strength to bring forth. This is an extremely dangerous predicament that could have dire consequences to the mother and to the child. Again, for the children are come to the birth. An important and vital and very consequential time had come. But there's a very serious problem, and there is not strength to bring forth. The expectant mother knew this day was coming. This expectant mother perhaps looked forward to this day with expectation. But when the time came, for whatever reason, she was too drained and fatigued to do what was required of her. In other words, she is not in a condition, or she is in a condition that would not meet the need of the hour. Again, this expectant mother knew that this time was coming. Every expectant mother knows that the time is coming when I will deliver this child. So she knew. She should have been prepared to deliver. She should have been in a state of health to deliver. But there is not strength to bring forth. The expectant mother does not have what it takes to endure the travail of birth. Now, it's much different than it is today. In Bible days, such a situation would have put both mother and child in grave danger. So this is a very critical situation. This is a dreadful situation. This is an alarming and desperate situation. It is a situation that no doubt would have caused great uneasiness and apprehensiveness and anxiety and stress. Again, Hezekiah is using this image of an expectant mother to draw a picture of the condition of God's people. His message to Isaiah is, Isaiah, we are in dire straits as a nation. Assyria has gathered. They have threatened us. Doom is on the horizon. And God's people do not have the strength, the vigor, the health to meet the situation. That's what Hezekiah is telling Isaiah. The children are come to the birth and there is not strength to bring forth. These are very grievous words. Fearful, distressing words. But may I say, that which was most fearful, that which was most dismal and distressing, and this is where we miss it many times, was not Assyria. Nor was it the threats from Syria. The greatest problem here was not Assyria. But there is not strength to bring forth. The enemy of God's people had risen up. And the most fearful and distressing and alarming matter was that God's people did not have the strength, did not have the health to meet the needs of the hour. Again, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. The strength of the people of God was not. Now, Judah, just like their neighbor, Israel, had been greatly blessed of God. And just like the northern kingdom, they had taken the blessings of God for granted. And they ignored the prophets of God. And they did not take the word of God seriously. As a result, they moved further and further away from God, dismissing God from their thoughts and lives. Now everywhere were the altar of Baals, and every altar of Baal in every corner. They were putting other things in the place of God. This has been going on for years. And they were esteeming, they put more esteem upon fleshly matters than the matters of God. And now, a critical moment has come. And they do not have the strength to endure the crisis. That would add to the crisis. You have the crisis of Assyria. But what would add to the crisis is that God's people do not have the health or the strength. They are not in a condition to meet the need of the hour. That brings us to the application. It's pretty easy to see where we're going. We, like Judah, find ourselves in a day of trouble. A day of rebuke, reprimands, and threats from the enemy. A day of blasphemy, profanity, and irreverence. Here we are in a day when the forces of hell have risen up. Ours is a time that faces a greater enemy, a more powerful, a more hateful, a more bold and relentless enemy than the nation of Assyria in the days of Hezekiah. The forces of hell, Satan's army, is made up of the haters and the despisers of God. It is made up of those who are greatly offended by the Lord. And they are hostile toward God. And as we've mentioned many times, they consider God and everything that concerns Him to be a nuisance. The forces of hell, Satan's army, is made up of those who see no shame, but are rather proud of their sinful and vile ways. And they have risen up. And they are no longer content to just live their ungodly and abominable lives. They've risen up. And now they want to force their rebellion and their ungodliness and their vileness upon everyone. They possess and are moved by the spirit of Antichrist. And they are on a rampage throughout the land. And their mission is a mission of destruction, bent on trying to eliminate any semblance of God from everyday life. The forces of hell have risen up and they march through the land. They fire their missiles of anti-God philosophies. And may I say, many put their children right in line with those missiles. You go stand over there, there's missiles coming right there. I mean, that's what they do. They fire their missiles of anti-God philosophies and fantasies. They lay the mines and set the traps. Humanism. Secularism. Pluralism. Relativism. Materialism. Political correctness. They set all these traps. And it is an attempt to bring an entire nation under their dominance. And for the most part, they have succeeded. Satanic influence has saturated the land, everywhere you go. Ours is a time of immorality and abomination. A time when immorality and abomination are applauded and exalted. And biblical standards are ridiculed, mocked, and hated. Notice that in Judah, the king of Assyria was promoted as some great one. Notice verse 28 of chapter 18. And Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria." And today, the very enemies of God are presented as great ones. And Hezekiah was presented as a fool and one out of touch with reality. Notice verse 29 through 31 of chapter 18. Thus saith the king, that is, this is the message from Sennacherib, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria.'" And then notice verse 31. "Hearken not to Hezekiah. Do not listen to this fool. He's out of touch with reality." This is the message to God's people from Sennacherib. And many have taking that message. It's not surprising when the world takes that message. But many of God's people have taken that message of the enemy. And then there is a call to agreement with the king of Assyria. Make, in verse 31, "Make an agreement with me, align with me. We understand what reality is. Hezekiah doesn't have a clue. That's the message being presented today. And people send their kids, children, to places where this message is, when they're bombarded with this message. People have bought it. So we see the same today on a much larger, far more serious scale. From an even more wicked and vile and powerful enemy than Assyria. And we find ourselves in a very serious, present, and urgent time. An 11th hour situation. We face an enemy far more powerful than Assyria. An enemy that has stripped this nation and has left a path of ruin and misery and has ransacked and looted and has left in ruins lives, homes, and marriages. And they're beating down the doors of others. It's a time of great urgency. And sadly, that's not the biggest problem. And sadly and tragically, in this day of trouble, rebuke, and blasphemy, far more dire than Hezekiah's day, there's God's people. And they don't want their comfort zone disturbed. They want what will cost them little or nothing. They don't want their self-esteem hurt. They want to stay in tune with the world. And they exhaust their energy in worldly matters, busying themselves in worldly pursuits, putting more esteem on worldly matters than God, having allowed the allurements of the world to dull their spiritual taste for the bread of life. And they now find spiritual things to be dull and tedious. And they're content with a mere form of godliness, a mere shadow of a relationship with God. And they consider service and worship of God as a sideline, that they might fit in their busy schedule rather than a life commitment. And their lives are characterized more by unbelief than faith. More characterized by worry than assurance. More characterized by frustration than peace. More characterized by discouragement than joy. More characterized by doubt than godly conviction. More swayed by the world than thus saith the Lord. And more influenced and impacted by the world's ways than God's ways. And they have allowed their hearts to be stolen by the enemies of God. And they have fallen victim to the traps of the flesh, the world, and Satan. Their spiritual interest, their spiritual enthusiasm and conviction has been consumed. And the truth is, they have more invested in the world than they do the Lord. and their priorities are more in line with the world and more dictated than God. And they are more dictated by the world than they are God. Consumed with worldly-mindedness. Consumed with covetousness. Consumed with idolatry. A spiritual coldness has fallen upon them. Consumed with pride and ingratitude. Consumed with bitterness and jealousy and pettiness and hypocrisy. They have adopted a do-it-yourself religion. And spiritual shallowness and formality is simply a way of life. For many, if not most, of God's people. And as a result, what we read in our text is sadly true. For the children are come to the birth. The time has come. And there is not strength to bring forth. We don't know. This woman, of course, is just an image. It's proverbial. There are many things that could have exhausted her strength. But we do know what exhausted Judah's strength. It was all the things that we just mentioned. Here we are. In a time of great urgency. A time when the enemy is on a furious rampage. And many, if not most, of God's people, sadly and tragically, have filled their lives with that which has disabled them spiritually. And now they are like the expectant mother in our text. There is not strength to bring forth. The hour is upon us. And there is not strength to bring forth. Many of God's people do not have the strength. They may have at one time, but that won't do you any good now. They do not have the strength. They do not have the vigor. They do not have the spiritual health to meet the situation. God's people today would rather believe, rather than get right with God, they would rather believe what we need. We just need political change, and that'll fix everything. It won't fix the problems of God's people. Assyria is not the main problem in our text. The main problem is God's people did not have the strength for the hour that was at hand. The very people of God, the ones who should be prepared for this hour, not in a state of health to do what is required. And God's people today deceive themselves. Oh, when they come to my house, I'll stand. You don't stand now. What in the world makes you think? Are you going to take a magic pill? It's not going to work. The hour will come. And the majority of God's people do not have the strength. They have fallen into a state of ill health. So what we have here is a picture of God's people not having the power, the spiritual vigor, and the stamina for what is required. In this hour of great need, the expectant mother. In our text, would be unable to endure the pangs, the travail of childbirth. And many, if not most, of God's people cannot endure what is upon us. And they certainly will not be able to endure what will be upon us. The expectant mother in our text found herself in a condition that could not meet the hour that was upon them. This should be a warning. The danger is real. That we become, or that we have become, the expectant mother of our text. So what can we do to avoid becoming this expectant mother of our text? Well, you must avoid anything that would zap us of our strength. You must avoid anything that would make you spiritually sick of ill health. We must be and continue to be a people humbled before God with warm and tender hearts, a people sensitive and responsive to the voice and the movement of the Lord. A people that are just fascinated with God. It's concerning. The enemy has risen. The enemy has already destroyed lives and homes, and beating down the door of others. And it's very, very concerning that God's people are more fascinated with the world than they are God. We need to be a people submissive to God, a people that acknowledges God in all things, a people filled with thanksgiving and praise and worship. Most cannot worship today. They're like the expectant mother. The time of worship comes, but they're not able. They do not have the strength. They do not have the health to worship God. It's a serious, serious matter. If we're going to avoid being this expectant mother, we must always be moving toward God, clinging to God, seeking to glorify God, identified with God. Many today will say, "Oh, I'm with God," and they have the altars of Baal in their yard. Not physically. Must be a people that live in the realization that He's worthy of all. A people who cannot do enough. A people that have the right attitude about God's day, about God's house, about God's book, about God's man, about God's people. The enemy has risen. And many of God's people have no use for God's house, God's day, God's man, or God's people. They do not have strength for what is required. If we are not to become the people pictured by this expectant mother, we have to rise above our times. We have to live above the times. The enemy has risen. And many of God's people have become Babylonians, have become Assyrians. Oh, they would deny it vigorously. But it's so. Have to rise above the discouragement. Oh, we live in such discouraging times. Oh, you just can't hardly not be discouraged. You better wake up. Times are too serious to be discouraged. Times are too serious for you to get your feelings hurt and stay out of the house of God. Times are too serious for you to have bitterness toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. Wake up! The enemy has risen. And most of God's people do not have the strength to endure. What a sad, sad picture. But we do not have to be in that picture. We need to avoid everything that would zap our spiritual strength. If you see something zapping your spiritual strength, get rid of it. Because you need every ounce of strength to face the hour. We don't have time for pettiness. We don't have time for a bunch of nonsense. Facebook has generated hatred, and I use the word hatred, amongst God's people for their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a sad day. And the enemy is at the door. They've already beaten it down. And God's people are concerned with everything but what they should be concerned with. We must be a people aligned with God. A people with a resolve for God. God being our purpose, God being our object, our aim, and our passion. We are in a war. And God's people need strength. Read Ephesians 6. Verses 10 through 13. We need the strength of the Lord. Oh, that we would not become the expectant mother. You know how many times mothers and fathers an hour of crisis has come in their children's lives, and they don't have the strength, they don't have the health to address it. Problems have come in their marriage, and husbands and wives do not have the spiritual strength, the spiritual health to get it fixed. It's not there. And the enemy has come. And there is not strength to deliver. I don't want to be that expectant mother. You don't want to be that expectant mother. God help us. God strengthen us in this hour. That God would not allow us to get distracted. Zapping our spiritual health. These are critical times. And once again, Assyria is not the problem. The problem is God's people do not have the strength to meet the hour. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.